to the book of Exodus. Exodus, please. When we last left Moses, he and Aaron had received a charge from God, or as it's translated 513 times in the Old Testament, a command. God's command had not changed. Even though the people's faith and Moses' faith wavered when it had been tested there in Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. God's test still remains the same. Look at verse 13. Exodus chapter 6, and we're looking at verse 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and he gave them a charge, a command unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. God is now about to assure Moses and Aaron that they are more than conquerors, more than qualified to pass this test. And the way he's about to do it is in two ways. Notice on your sheet the very first one. The Lord assures Moses he's qualified to be his minister because of who Moses is. I want you to note in verses 14 through 27 of this chapter 6 what happens. And the best way to do that is to take a look at your sheet insert that you have. At the top of it, it says Exodus chapter 1, verse 2. And there we know that Jacob and Leah, and here is the heritage of Jacob and Leah. There was Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. They had four sons. Now, what we have here in this passage, we have the firstborn mentioned, Reuben, and his four sons. Secondly, we have the secondborn, Simeon, and his six sons. That was in verse 15. And the thirdborn was Levi. Now, that's the one that we're focusing on, and his three sons. That's all verse 16. From this point down, all we have is this priestly line. The authority that Moses and Aaron had was because they were of this priestly line. Now notice in verse 17, you have Levi and the mention of the first son, Gershom, and his two sons. Then you have Levi out there and Kohath and his four sons. And then there's Levi and Merari and his two sons there in verse 19. At that point, notice what happens. Now you go from Levi, now you're only we're focusing on the family of Kohath. And Kohath, notice his sons, the first one was Amram. And there's where we have Aaron and Moses, very important, verse 20. Now you also have, notice, Levi and Kohath and his other son, Izhar, and his three sons. Now, kind of interesting as you look at Levi, Kohath, and the third son, Hebron, there's none mentioned. Perhaps he died because there's no sons. And then finally, you have Levi, Kohath, and Uzziel, and his three sons. From that point, we're going to go on down through Aaron. You've got Levi, Kohath, Amram. There's Aaron, and you see his sons. Levi, Kohath, Izhar, and Korah, and his three sons. And then finally, in verse 25, you see that we have Levi, we have Kohath, we have Amram, and we have Aaron, Eleazar, and Phinehas. All he's showing us is the line, the priestly line, coming from the tribe or of Jacob and Levi, and we see that they are in this great heritage. Now, focus with me, if you will, on verse 26, because it's at verse 26 and verse 27 that we have a summation. So let's take a look at the summation. These are that Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from from the land of Egypt according to their armies. Listen, because of who you are, Aaron, because of who you are, Moses, I want you to bring, you're qualified, you're more than qualified to go to Pharaoh and to say to Pharaoh, to command Pharaoh, to let my people go. Verse 27, these are they which spake to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. Because of their physical genealogy, Moses and Aaron, they were more than qualified to represent the Lord before Pharaoh. Now, it's not so much our physical genealogy, but rather our spiritual genealogy that makes you and I qualified to speak on behalf of the Lord. Now, it's interesting that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says that ye are a royal priesthood. Christians are a royal priesthood. And we went to the writings of the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. There he says, Jesus has made us kings and priests. Every one of us in this room who named the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are priests. We're kings. We are more than qualified to represent our Lord before others. And if you really need a proof text, I'm going back and I'll read again to you, if I may, 2 Corinthians. So just you can either flip back there with me, keeping your finger here, or you can listen as I read that passage that we've already read to you. But before reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want you to hear these words out of Galatians. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 3:26, here's what he says. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. God qualifies us through faith in Jesus Christ to fulfill his ministry of reconciliation. That's what I'm reading to you now here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17 again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. And how did he do it? By Jesus Christ. And what's he given to us? Why, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, here's where we're at. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. That's the ministry that God's called you and I unto. And we're more than qualified to go before others and to share the word of God with them. Just as Moses and Aaron were physically qualified to speak on behalf of the Lord, so you and I are spiritually qualified to speak on behalf of the Lord. That led me to put down this very first purpose. Take a look at it on your sheet. Because I am of the spiritual genealogy of God through faith in Jesus, I purpose to acknowledge and accept my role as ambassador of Christ. Now remember, Moses has been a little reluctant, hasn't he, about going. God has said, you're my chosen vessel, you go. And he's been giving us all kinds of excuses for not going. Well, there's times you and I give all kinds of excuses for not bearing witness to so-and-so, be they a Christian, be they an unbeliever, be they a believer. But what we see here in these first few verses is that the Lord assures Moses that he's qualified to be his minister because of who Moses is. Because of who you are in Christ, you are more than qualified. But he doesn't stop there. Secondly, the Lord assures Moses that he's qualified to be his minister because of who God is. Look at verse 28 here in our chapter, Exodus 6, verse 28. Who is God? And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. Who's God? Who is sending Moses to speak to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt? Well, he tells Moses, I am the Lord. The big L, the big O, the big R, the big D. Now, this is the fifth time in this chapter that he has declared to Moses that he's Jehovah, that he is the covenant-keeping God. The other places were verse 2, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, and here in verse 29. And what was the command the Lord gave to Moses? Well, look at it. He says, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. Oh, not just some of it, not just a portion of it. He says, I want you to speak all of it. The Apostle Paul, he's admonishing the leaders of Ephesus when he writes these words in Acts 20, verse 27. He says this, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath made or which he has purchased with his own blood. Certainly, it is the role of every pastor to preach the whole counsel of God. Not to omit it because of the fear of man, but to preach the whole counsel. But that's the charge that God's given to all of us. As his ambassadors, we need to preach the whole counsel of God, all of it. Look at your purpose. I purpose not to let my fear of man hinder me from proclaiming all the word of God, but will let my fear of God move me to teach the whole counsel of God. Can you imagine if God would call on you or gave you an opportunity to preach, to speak to our president? Would you share with him all the counsel of God? Or would you be somewhat fearful? Not to fear man, we're to fear God. If he impresses upon us with a message to share with others, we need to share it, not fearing. Well, with these two assurances, one of who Moses was and two, who God is, how does Moses respond to God's commandment to go and to speak to Pharaoh? Look at verse 30, chapter 6, verse 30. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I'm uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Moses now, for the third time, uses excuse, I can't speak well, for being hesitant in going. Back in chapter 4, verse 10, he said this, I'm not eloquent. In chapter 6, verse 13, he says, how then shall Pharaoh hear me who am of uncircumcised lips? And here we read in verse 30, he says, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Think about this, moms and dads. How many times has your child used the same excuse? I mean, used it over and over for not obeying you. But before you go too deep in your thinking, think this way. How often have you used the same excuse for not obeying your Father, your Heavenly Father? What I want you to do is see how God deals with Moses' excuse. This is not the first time he's heard it. This is not the second time he's heard it. It's been over and over the same time. God, kill him. Raise yourself up a new minister. But I want you to see the long-suffering of our God. That none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look what he says now in chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Pharaoh, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. So the first thing we see is that God says, I've made thee a god to Pharaoh in his long suffering. He doesn't say, that's it. I've had enough excuses from you. I'm done with you. He says, Pharaoh. He says, wait, listen, I want you to understand, Moses. I made thee a god to Pharaoh. So what we have seen in these chapters, verse 6, now going on to the 7th chapter, is the long-suffering of our God towards those who continue to make up excuses for not obeying his voice. He is long-suffering that they would come to repentance. Let me again read to you that passage that we looked at this morning out of 1 Timothy. And you may either turn there, keeping your hand in Exodus, or again, you can listen as I read the testimony of the Apostle Paul concerning his salvation, concerning the long-suffering of his God towards him. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, he says, I thank, that's the word grace, I give grace, it was God's grace, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. That's all he was towards the church. He says, but I obtained mercy because I did ignorantly in unbelief. And he says, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He says, of whom I am chief. That's in the present tense. He's still talking about how a sinner he is. And then he says this, howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy. Why? Why did this one who was blasphemous, injurious, why did this one who continually reject hearing the gospel, Stephen is preaching it, and he still folds his arms and holds the clothes as they stone him to death, having heard the message, having rejected the message, and yet we see that God was long-suffering towards you. Why? For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. Why? For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe. He's talking about you. Which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. God gave us this example in the life of Saul, this heinous man, and how long-suffering he was that he would come to repentance to teach us how you and I should be long-suffering towards the wicked. Be they saved or be they unsaved. Sometimes it takes more patience to be long-suffering with those who profess to be saved than for those who do not profess to be saved because of our expectations of them. But what I want you to see as we turn back in our text, that our God is patient. The Lord assures Moses that he's made him to be a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron to be his prophet. Now, how in the world was Moses to be a god to Pharaoh? Well, he would speak to Pharaoh in the place of authority. This word, God, is Elohim. It's also translated in our King James Bible, judge or ruler. Exodus 21, verse 6, Psalms 82, verses 1 through 8, just a couple of references to that. What we have here is this. The covenant-keeping Lord's promise to Moses was that he was going to make Moses a ruler. He was going to make him a judge over Pharaoh in that he would have authority over him. He would be able to speak authority over to him. You see, there is a sense in which all Christians are little g's, little o's, little d's, and little s's. We're little gods. We're people in authority. We have divine authority because you and I are the Lord's ambassadors. We speak on his behalf. We're the Lord's ambassadors, or those who God has sent out to represent him. Now, what was the message that God does beseech you and I to share with sinners, be they saved or be they unsaved? And that message was, be ye reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Look at your purpose, please, on your sheet, understanding this. Because of my authority in Christ as his ambassador, you know what? I purpose to speak to others about being reconciled to God and others. Now, what is it that God commanded Moses to speak? Well, look at it here. He says, thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And what was part of the message they were to share with Pharaoh? Take a look at it. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of the land. Listen to me. It can be very difficult at times to tell others what God wants you to tell them. And it can be difficult because you already know that they're not going to want to hear this. They're not going to want to do it. And you're going to be hesitant about going and speaking to them about something you know they don't want to hear, you know that they're not going to do. Nevertheless, God is impressing upon you to do it. Go as my ambassador and speak to them with authority. Look at your purpose. When commanded of God, I purpose to tell others what God would have them to do, even if they don't want to hear it, and do it. What we have here is the Lord is assuring Moses that he is qualified to be his minister because of who God is. And who is God? Well, look at it. Because of what God has done for Moses. And what has he done for Moses? Well, he says, I made thee a God. But now look at the next point. Because of what God will do to Pharaoh and to the land. First of all, he talks about how I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Look at verse 3. Chapter 7, verse 3. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And, well, let's stop right there because there's another point. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Now, we first read how the Lord will say he would harden Pharaoh's heart way back in chapter 4, verse 21. And we've already noted for you, that doesn't mean that God would cause Pharaoh's heart to become hardened by God implanting evil in his heart. Rather, what it means is that God would not restrain, would not hold back his evil heart. The evil that was already in this man's heart. And we know that from Romans 1, 24, verse 26 and 28. But all right, along with that, he says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Then he says this. He says, I'm going to multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Now, of course, these will be the plagues and the miracles that God's going to perform in chapters 7 through 11, ending, of course, with the death plague. And then, thirdly, we read in verse 4, and Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. That's the third aspect. These are the three things that God would do to Pharaoh and to the land. He's going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He's going to multiply his signs. In the midst of it, Pharaoh will not hearken unto you. What you need to understand is that it's not your responsibility, it's not my responsibility to make people hear and heed God's message. It's our responsibility to communicate it. As his ambassadors, we are to go and tell them what God would have us to tell them. The rest is up to God. Listen to me. If it's not God's plan to open a man's eyes to see, to unstop his ears to hear, there's nothing you and I can do to make that man receive the word of God. Matthew 13, verse 13, Jesus is speaking. Here's what he says. He says, therefore I speak to them in parables. Why? Because they seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Look at your purpose. Knowing it's up to God whether others will hearken unto me, I purpose to communicate the truth in love and leave the rest up to God. Now, how do you do this? You do this by praying. You pray before you go, God, open your eyes, open your ears to the message you are sending me to share with them. You pray while you're sharing the message. And you pray after you've shared the message that God will gloriously, mercifully open our eyes to the truth, unstop their ears to the truth, open their heart to receive and to believe the truth. That's God's role. Your role is to communicate the truth. God, by His Spirit, will quicken that man to receive it. All right, so let's take a look here at this second point. The Lord, He's assuring Moses that he's qualified to be his minister. Why? Because of who he is. Man, look what he's done for Moses. He says, hey, pay attention to what I'm going to do to Pharaoh and to the land. Understand that. And then he says this, third point. He says this. Understand, excuse me, why he would do this to Pharaoh and to the land. Couple of points here. First one here, in the latter part, look at chapter 7, look at verse 4. All right, he said, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. Why? Why? Why is that? Here we go. That I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies, that my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. All right, so what's one reason that Pharaoh would not hearken unto Moses and Aaron? Well, God says that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land by great judgments. It was God's plan to bring judgment. That's why they wasn't going to listen. Because the people of Pharaoh refused to obey the Lord's command to let his people go, they're going to experience one judgment after another. Now, look at your purpose and see if you can understand this purpose. One evidence that God has hardened a person's heart is their refusal to repent even when experiencing one judgment after another. If you, and you all of us know someone like that, we have watched one judgment, another judgment. Pharaoh and the people are not going to go through one judgment, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not eight, and all of them, they still will refuse to repent. Why is that? Because God did not open their eyes. Because God was about to lay his hand upon Egypt by a multitude of judgments. And if you see multitude of judgments coming and a person refusing to acknowledge the truth, your mindset has got to be, this is the hand of God upon them. God is dealing with them. God is bringing judgment upon them. And the only advice you and I can give to that person at that time is what? Cry out to God for mercy. Look at the next point here. He says, okay, I'm going to lay my hand upon Egypt. And then number two, he says, I'm going to stretch forth my hand upon Egypt. They shall know that I am the Lord. That's what he says in verse 5. You know, they shall know that I am the Lord. The Lord sought to encourage Moses and Aaron's faith to obey by communicating to them, first of all, who they were, but second of all, and more importantly, of who he was. Knowing that, look at your purpose, please. I purpose to encourage others to have faith to obey. How? By communicating with them who God is, and what he's doing, what he will do, and why he's doing it. Now, Did all of this have a positive effect upon Moses and Aaron? Did God explain to Moses who he was and explain to Moses who God was? Did that have a positive effect? Well, let's read verse 6. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. Look at this purpose. See if this rings true. I purpose to realize that when I see others obeying the commandment of the Lord, I'm having a positive effect on fanning their faith. Obedience is one of the premier ways you know that you're having an effect on fanning the faith of another. When you go as God's ambassadors, you share with them God's words, and you see them obeying God's words, that's positive proof that God is using you to fan their faith. Now, what's somewhat important for us to understand as we close this message today is that both Moses and Aaron were not spring chickens when they obeyed and did what God had commanded them to do. Look at verse 7 as we close. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. You should not be surprised if some of the Lord's greatest commissions for you come after some maturity in your life. Moses and Aaron will receive this commission at the 2/3 point of their life. They're going to live to be 120 and 123, respectively. If you have a lifespan of 90, you should be expecting some of the greatest commissions of God upon your life to go and perform His duties in your 60s. Look at your purpose. I purpose to acknowledge that if my lifespan is 90, I can expect to be commissioned of the Lord to perform some of my greatest tasks in my 60s. Going to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, with this message from God, let my people go, was done at a time of great maturity in both Moses and Aaron's life. Sometimes we think, well, you know what, I'm in my 50s. It's time for retirement for me. God can't use me. Now I'm in my 60s. Man, God can't use me. 70s. Don't be surprised if all of a sudden God commissions you to go and to speak to someone. Someone in your own perception, and maybe rightly so, they don't want to hear it and they don't want to obey. And yet, nevertheless, God will send you. Remember, Moses and Aaron, they were qualified servants of the Lord because of who they were and because of who God is. But because of that, remember this, you and I are qualified servants of the Lord because of who we are in the Lord and because of who He is. No doubt this week, one of us is going to hear something from the Lord. A commission, a command to go and to speak to somebody. And our first response will be probably to find some kind of excuse for not doing it. Be mindful. It is not your role to make a person receive the word and act upon it. Your role is just to communicate what God says. Let him do the rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the opportunities that you do give to us, even for some of us who have got some age on our bones, to minister. Lord, I think of even this morning, that call, and this one wants to come in this week for some counseling. Lord, I'm still mindful that you would still have me to communicate your word unto others. And I pray that you would give to each and every one of us in this room, first of all, the desire, and then second of all, the doing of your good pleasure. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your calling on our life, to go, to share. And Lord, help us to just trust you to either open hearts, open minds, or not. But Lord, that we would just be faithful to do what you've told us to do. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your word this morning. For it's in Jesus we pray. Amen.